Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to appreciate Brother Kumi a little bit more. When I was leaving Winnipeg, I was a bit afraid. Hey, Bology, how are you? Nice to see you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When I was leaving Winnipeg, I was a bit afraid because obviously Winnipeg is dear to my heart because this is where I started living. So even though I came here when I was 19, I think. Well, throughout the 19 years before I came here, I wasn't really living yet. I was just existing most of the time. Praise the Lord. So in this place, I had wonderful experiences here with God and with wonderful people. So when we started this in 2013, I know that there's something special about this place, this city, this province, Manitoba. And it's not a coincidence that it's actually at the center of Canada. I was telling James yesterday that Manitoba actually means land of spirits.
Yeah.
That's the meaning of the word, yeah. So I strongly believe that it's not even just the name of the province. There is so much contention spiritually in this place. And I have traveled in Canada and I know what I'm saying. I've visited different Christian communities and I know that there's something about this place. God is very interested in it. The devil also is very interested in it. So, yeah. So sometimes I talk with Bukumi and we just talk about some of the challenges that, you know, we face here. In just the labor of love in God's word and eternal life and just the amount of resistance there is, it tells you that there's something here. I know God will help us. Oh Jesus. Father, I'm not worried to stand here in this atmosphere. I'm not worthy, Lord. But I pray that you will increase here.
Amen.
Let your presence, let it increase. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. While we're worshiping, I sense that there was a time when something came in here. It's making so much noise, sorry. So there was a time something came in here. I saw a cloud. A cloud came, and it was as if we entered into the cloud. The cloud took us up. And when our worship was going on, it was as if we're having those experiences inside that cloud. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you know how in the Old Testament, the Bible says that they had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And I strongly believe the cloud and the fire are actually angels that followed the people of Israel. And one thing about angels is angels, they don't just come to you on their own volition. So an angel can't just get bored in heaven and say, okay, let's just go down to the earth and see what's going on there, you see. The Bible says that they hearken unto the voice of his word. They do his command. They are messengers of his. Praise the Lord. So when an angel comes into a meeting, he was sent by God. And angels don't only bring words. They don't only bring instructions. Angels can bring an encounter. They can bring atmosphere. And it's not even every time that an angel comes that an angel actually speaks. Praise the Lord. If you notice, there wasn't even that much of tongue and interpretation today when we're worshiping. But what we saw was a strong presence, compelling presence. It was as if, I mean, for me, it was as if my heart entered a new place of reality where I could perceive God clearly. Praise the Lord. So I know that angel is still here to help our hearts, because it's not just about the word entering. It's about the condition of the heart when the word enters. Praise the Lord. Remember the parable of the sower, right? So sometimes God can send these angels, because those angels, they are statues in the spirit. And the realms that they occupy, they don't occupy those places just because it's vacant. They occupy it because they have the stature to take that space in the spirit. So they are warriors by nature. Praise the Lord. So it doesn't matter if there were evil spirits here before. It doesn't matter what kind of spirits are talking to you or suggesting to you or telling you stories. You know, there are sometimes I know that there are evil spirits with me for days. Why? Because you keep telling me the same thing. That's if it's a radio. You know when you have a radio. And they don't get tired. It's like they are very bored in their world. So they always come here. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it might take... Sometimes when I'm struggling with some thoughts, sometimes it might take maybe listening to one message. God will just lead me to listen to maybe listen to a message. Maybe in that message there's maybe such a power and presence of God that drives that thing away. Amen. The devil is very resilient like that. But why I said that was, the reason why sometimes God will have us have such a presence in meetings is because those angels, they have the ability to take space. So it doesn't matter what kind of spirits or thoughts are prevalent in the room. When that angel comes, they have to go away. They can't stand. The same way when you turn on the, like the light switch, it doesn't matter how thick the darkness is. Yes. It has to give way.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And the beauty of it is that it prepares our hearts for the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And the word of God is a carrier of encounter. It's a conveyor of the person of God. God is a package of encounters. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I pray the Lord will speak to us tonight. We've said so many things over the last few days. But I feel there's still a need, like Bukumi said, for things to come together a little bit. And God will help us. Just right off the bat, I'll just give an idea where I think we might be going. He spoke a lot about meekness. The kingdom is meekness. The kingdom of God is meekness. That's really what it's about. So when you are learning the kingdom, you will learn many things. So you will learn different directions, because that's just the nature of it. There's complex. The kingdom of God has the wisdom of God in it. So you have to take a journey in God's wisdom, right? On how God brought things to be. But in all that journey, there's a destination. Amen. And until you've arrived at that destination, you haven't received the essence of the kingdom yet. Amen. We'll look at Jesus Christ through the scriptures. Oh, Jesus. Let's see the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Amen. I just don't want this thing to be too loud. Hallelujah. You can all hear me here. Amen.
Amen.
So Colossians chapter 1. From verse 12. Praise the Lord. Can someone read verse 12 and verse 13, please?
Giving thanks unto the Father,
mm-hmm.
which had made us meet
mm-hmm.
to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light,
mm.
who has delivered us from the power of darkness.
Amen.
And had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Says that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Amen.
Amen.
And had been translated into the kingdom of the Son of God. Now, for you to move into the kingdom, right, to enter into the kingdom, you have to first be delivered. Amen.
Amen.
But the process of after deliverance, it doesn't mean you've actually entered the kingdom. So when you've been delivered from darkness, that's one work of Christ, to deliver you from the clutches of darkness. From the powers of darkness. That's one work. But it does not say here that as you've been delivered, then you are now in the kingdom. It says he delivered, then comma, and then translated. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he didn't just place you in the kingdom. Now what translated has to do with there's a change. Somewhere. Amen.
Yes.
Had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that translation says into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen.
Amen.
So to enter the kingdom, you enter the kingdom by translation. So that means that it has to do with a change that occurs in you. It's not moving something from point A to point B. It's changing something from A to B. Praise the Lord. Now, then this chapter begins to now speak about Jesus, and we will see why it's important to actually look closely at him, the person called Jesus. That work, Jesus was the work of God on the earth, right? Bible says the word of God was made flesh. That word made flesh, that making him flesh is a work that God did. Praise the Lord. It's not trivial that the word of God became flesh. Amen. So he was made flesh, right? And then we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So let's now see from verse 14. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is what? The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Praise the Lord. So he is the image of the invisible God. So God is invisible, but he has an image. So without Jesus, there's no way God could ever have been seen. because he's the invisible God. Paul said that, see, who hath immortality, that dwelleth in a light, which no man can what approach unto. Means you can't see him. There's no way for man to see or visualize him. People might have had experiences of him, appearances. Moses had some kind of, you know, a relationship with an appearance of God. But to see God is to see his nature. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I will explain to you what I mean. Now, if you asked Moses, okay, Moses, you met with God on the mountain. Who is God? I bet you Moses probably would have told you that, well, there was such maybe a bright light. And maybe out of that bright light, there was maybe he would describe how he felt, how it made him feel. And then he would now tell you, maybe I heard a voice saying this and this and this and that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When he received the testament and all that. But Moses will not start telling you about the content or the character or the nature of God, because he didn't really see him. He saw the appearance of him. Praise the Lord. So up until Jesus came, Christ or God the Father has not been made known to man. Man didn't really know God at all. Praise the Lord. Jesus himself said it. He said, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son of the Father, he hath what? Revealed him. So no man had seen God at any time, but the Son. Praise the Lord. Why am I saying? I'm going to be saying many things like this. And I'm saying it to just to drum it into our minds. Amen.
Amen.
That this business of the kingdom of God, of knowing God, of advancing spiritually, because you can't advance without the knowledge of God. There's only one real way to go about it. Is we have to really understand that there's no other way around seeing him without discerning the person of Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is the revelation of God to man. Praise God. Amen. Now, angels have their own vision of God. They see God a certain way because of his glory. There's an appearance of God which they see. And what they see of God is the sight that their own life form is able to discern in him. Amen. But angels cannot actually know God the way we are called to know him. Do you know why? Because the Word was not made angelic. It was made flesh. And the Word did not dwell among angels. He dwelt among us. And the Bible says, when we beheld his glory. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, if we are going to know God, we have to be able to discern that work in that man called Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And now, why is Christ able to give us such a revelation of God? We'll see that from the scripture. Amen.
Amen.
Now, verse 15 here, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? The firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. Amen?
Amen.
That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
all things, amen?
Amen,
all things were created by him and for him. Do we see that?
Yesterday I was speaking about how when you are, there are things that about creation that is made revealed to us in the scriptures, including the heavens, right? How the structure of the heavens, the present heavens, Moses saw that. Amen. Now, there's also about things about the angels, the angelic order, about the cherubims, the seraphims, and all realms of principalities and powers and all those things. Amen. Now, and I was saying that all those things, everything in the scripture that's revealed in the scripture is meant to be known and understood by us. Because the Bible says that all scripture is given by what? The inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Amen. So everything that's revealed in the scripture is a gate to understanding who God is, including all the creatures. The essence of the creatures, those things are revealed in the scripture. And the reason why those things can give you access to the knowledge of God is because those things, all those things were made by Him. Praise the Lord. Since in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. Then, the next verse is not a coincidence, it's just one thought. Then in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. You know what that light of men is? What does that mean? Come here. Praise God. So in Him was life, okay? The beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Praise the Lord. And then, and in Him was life. And that life is the life from which all things were made. Praise the Lord. And in Him was that life, and that life was the light of men. That light means understanding. In the light of men means this is the light, that this is what man should be learning. Praise the Lord. Light is your learning, your illumination. What should you be studying? This is the light of man. This is man's knowledge, man's understanding, what man was designed to know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So man was made to know that life in Him that created all things. Praise the Lord. In Him was life, and that life was the light of man. Now here is saying that, for by Him were all things created, that they that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Verse 17, and He is before all things. Amen. And by Him all things consist. Praise the Lord. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. Now the next verse, 19, says for what? For it pleased the Father that in Him should what? All the fullness dwell. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Praise the Lord. Verse 19, in Him, what? It pleased the Father, in Him should all the fullness dwell. And then verse 20 is telling you that He made peace through the blood of His cross. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
By Him. Why is He able to make peace? Because by Him, right? To reconcile all things to Himself, but by Him, He says, whether there be things in earth, right, or things in heaven. Amen. So because He created all things, He is able to reconcile all things back to God. Amen. Now, do we know that the fall of man didn't only affect man? the fall of man affected the whole creation. Do we agree with that?
Yes.
He affected all things. All things were affected. When man fell, really, all things fell. That's why the Bible says that the earnest expectation of creation, what? Awaited the manifestation of what? The sons of God. Why? Because when God made all things, when he made creation, he created man. And that man which he created, he crowned him with glory and honor. Praise the Lord. And creation has purpose relative to man. Praise the Lord. That's why they are groaning. They are looking for sons. Which son are they looking for? They are looking for the kind of man that they were created to support. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, Jesus Christ, when he shed his blood, that blood was the blood of the Son. And that Son, that blood of the Son contains the life of God that created all things. So that blood is able to make peace. Right? Now, speaking particularly of the peace that has to do with man and God. Remember in the book of Romans chapter 5? What does it say? Romans 5 verse 1. It says, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Right? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into this grace in which we stand. So, Jesus Christ is able to make peace for us with God through his blood. That word, does that word peace mean? When it says we have peace with God. What does it mean to be have peace with him? It means there's no longer strife between natures. There's no longer contradiction between natures. Amen.
Amen.
And receiving peace is a work of justification. You can't be at peace with God until you have been justified in his sight. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You can't stand before God and be at peace if you are not justified. Amen. But the only thing that can be justified in God's sight is his own life. Praise the Lord. Because the life of God is the code, right, of his person. Anything that is not a product of his life or does not agree with his life contradicts his nature, contradicts the law that's in him. Praise the Lord. And we know that God's will for creating man is that man can have an eternal dwelling together. Book of Revelation chapter 21, it says that the tabernacle of God is with man. Praise the Lord. And that's the end of all things. But God cannot tabernacle with man until he has made peace with man. Right now, man really is an enemy of God. Not an enemy because I just hate God, I want to be his enemy. No. We are enemies of God by nature.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's a sinful nature. That's why people that say, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven, and that's it. You don't really understand what it's about. Right? What you're saying is that, okay, I'm born again, I want to go and meet God. But it's not about meeting him. You can't really meet him. You can be in heaven. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? You will be in heaven, all, but you won't have fellowship with him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because you can't come closer. You are still a man. Amen. But you can't access God if you are a man. You want to receive the life of the eternal word in you. That word has divine nature. Praise the Lord. That's why Peter said that we must be partakers of what? The divine nature. Partake of that nature. You can't just come to God as a man. When you are born again, you are still a man. You are still just a man. Your spirit has been raised, seated in heavenly places, but your soul is what makes you a man. Praise the Lord. Because that's where your expression is. That's where your will is, your desire and everything is. But the thing is, no man can see God. No man can have access to him. Anybody who is still just a man. Right? Remember, he dwells, right, in a light which no man can approach unto. Praise the Lord. But the only way you can approach unto him is that you need to have come into a stature of light. Amen? That can approach that invisible light. Praise God. And David saw that. He said, in your light, I see light. Means you need, without being a light stature. What does light mean? Like I said before, knowledge, understanding. You cannot fellowship with God if you don't know the things he knows. What will you talk about? What will be the basis of fellowship? What will be your conversation? What will you be doing together? For you to have real fellowship, there must be a common knowledge. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you can't discuss your engineering with God. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't discuss world politics with him. Why am I mentioning these things? Huh? You can't discuss the latest movies, the latest, you know. What? Amen. Why am I hitting some things here? Huh? Because these are the things that are inside us. Huh? If most of us, if you tell us, okay, just start speaking. About God, most of us will run out of things to say. If I tell you, I assume you had a conversation with God, now what will you be saying? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want you to know that our soul, see, there's rapture, okay? Rapture, physically. I don't mean there's the soul where the soul is being raised up, but physical rapture will happen. Okay? Right?
Yes.
It will happen. What is that rapture really? It's just that this body will change. Yes. That's all it is. That's all. Amen. This your body that can die, right? Cannot relate with God. I mean, let's even leave the Father. Let's just talk about the glorified Christ. I mean, that Christ that was raised from the dead. That man that was raised, that was received by a cloud. Amen. Can you conceptualize being received by a cloud in your natural body into glory? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So at some point, we'll be transformed into that glorified state of him. So there's the rapture of the soul. Obviously, that's what we are teaching. That's what's happening now. Every revelation you get that draws you closer to God is the rapture. You're being raptured in your soul. You're being caught up to him. But man is three part. There's still this body one. So when people say rapture, they think of it as some kind of weird concept. People flying. So sometimes it throws people off. And they say, well, would that really happen? You know? Well, really, it's just change. We are not going to remain like this forever. We're going to put this off. Right? If Jesus was raptured, why won't we be raptured? You know that was rapture that happened to Jesus? When he was raised, his body changed. He could walk through walls physically. Can you do that? Praise the Lord. So that will happen. There are those who have died. Those people will be raised out with their own body, new body. Those who are still alive in that time, it will happen. There will be a transformation. This body must go. Praise the Lord. Now, how did I get there? What was I talking about? So when you have fellowship with someone, you fellowship on the basis of shared knowledge, on the basis of common knowledge. Praise the Lord. So that process of rapture is not a soul transformation. There's nothing that will happen in the soul realm when that happens. It's just body. Praise God. So if you're still full of earthly things, amen, now, when the end of this present order is past, and even if you went to heaven, that soul will still be what it's full of. In terms of your how you your the way you your concept of things, your understanding of things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's why you know, some of these things are not far-fetched. All you need to do is just think of Jesus as a man. Sometimes we argue about scripture, would this happen, would that happen, would this happen? Everything that will happen happened to Jesus. All you need to do is just check what happened to Jesus, and that's what will happen to you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's not possible that God desires for you to have an end state that's different from what Jesus has, because there's an oath that binds you and him. There's an oath. So he swore it by an oath. That's why Jesus had to become flesh. He had to be made flesh to take on our destiny. Jesus took the destiny of man. He tied it to his own. Whatever I become is what they will become.
Yes.
And that's the promise of the New Testament. It says the new covenant in my blood. He wrote it in his own blood. It means it's the order of his life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, communion. Remember Jesus Christ while he was on the earth. Amen. Could you perceive the level of fellowship and communion he had with God while he was on the earth? You can perceive it. Right? Always speaking about his father. Seeing he doesn't do anything apart from his father. That was literally. He wasn't figurative. Right? It wasn't just, well, things that people say. Or the spirit would say, no, really. Right? He was on the earth, but his soul had learned. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To a point where he had the common knowledge of his father. He had received the will of his father. He could commune with his father continuously. See, whatever I see my father do means he was seeing his father. Praise the Lord. And that seeing is soul sight. His heart was able to discern the will of God. Praise the Lord. Now, the reason why I said that is because to let you know that the fellowship that you envision with God in heaven, right, is the same level of fellowship that God has desires for you to come into on the earth in your soul. Because Jesus was like that. Jesus said, my father does not hide anything from me. Do you know what that statement means? It means that there's nothing the father really knows that I don't have access to. I can access the knowledge of my father. And Jesus saying that was a man. He was a complete man on the earth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that I can access the thoughts of my father. Amen.
Amen.
So God desires us. And I'm just talking about Christ today because Jesus is the embodiment of all we are to be. Praise the Lord. Everything we are to be. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We've narrowed it down that it's also Jesus' kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord, because you were prophesied of him. You will inherit the kingdom of your father, David. Praise the Lord. And that kingdom of David is a type, right, for the eternal dominion of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So that tells us now, we have to now know this man, Jesus, who he was, but the revelation, praise the Lord, of his person. Now let's continue here. I will just read this down, amen, up to the end, and we'll read somewhere else. See, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind, remember what we said about being enemies, right? By wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You know what that means? It means that when God looks at you, this is God's dream for you. This is his vision for you. That when he looks at you and he tries to find a fault, that he can't find a fault. Means you are unreprovable in his sight. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, amen, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So there's an hope of the gospel. Amen. There's a hope. And that hope is what Paul has been describing here. To bring us into an unblameable state before God. It says, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Hallelujah. Even what? The mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is what? The riches of the glory of what? This mystery. Amen. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What's that? Which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. Whom we preach. So we're not preaching a story. We are preaching a person. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man what? Perfect. In Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Verse 26 says that even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is what? Made manifest to his saints. Praise the Lord. To whom God will make known what is what? The riches of the glory of this mystery. What is that mystery? Hallelujah. 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 What is the great mystery in relating to man, everything we know? There's one great mystery. Everything else, nothing else is mysterious. Nothing else, even all the science and technology and all those things are just there. Praise the Lord. Anybody can, like, invest his time in them, can find them out. Don't let any scientist come and tell you, I've found one thing that nobody could find. No, those things are there. But there's one mystery. There's just one mystery. Really. One thing mysterious to man. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's how a man who is just grass, praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
can be raised to a state where he's unblameable before God. Hallelujah. That's the great mystery. And should I tell you something? Pack all the professors in your university together. And give them that mystery to solve. They can't give you the answer. Take all the wisest men in this world. Just give them a billion years to solve that mystery. They can't tell you how it will happen. But God packaged that mystery inside a man. Praise the Lord. So Jesus did not just come to die for your sins, to repay or atone for your sins. No. Jesus didn't just come to take something away from you. That is sin. He also came to add something. It's not just a subtractive work. Let's just wash them. Okay? After the washing, then you now need to add some things. There has to be a work in you. And the wisdom for that work is in him because it happened in him. Praise the Lord. It says, because the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he pleased him to be partakers of what? The same, that he might become like unto his brethren. Praise the Lord. So he was made like you in every way, so that God can now work that mystery, which they need to work in you, inside him, Amen. And that mystery can now be revealed. And by revelation of that mystery, you can be built up according to the same wisdom. Praise the Lord. Now let's see the book of... thank you, Father. Let's see Philippians. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, don't worry, we are still talking about the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Let's see 1 Corinthians first. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just read from verse 1. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." I didn't come to just tell you stories. Amen. "Declaring unto you the testimony of God. Say, for I determined not to know anything among you, save what? Jesus Christ and him crucified." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 4 says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Praise the Lord, because all of man's wisdom can produce this thing. Amen. It says, "My speech was and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in what? A demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in what? The power of God." This morning, James was speaking about that power of God. Praise the Lord. And that power is the power that will do what man cannot do, what man can't even understand. Is that power which God wrought in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. It says, "which God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, far above principalities and powers." Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, as Jesus is ascending in the heights, that ascension is not just a geographical or spatial thing that he just shot up. We are talking of being raised. You see, being made better than the angels. It wasn't just they taking him and putting him up there. Being made better means that remember what I said about the angels occupying space. It wasn't just, I'm God's son, so, it was nature. They really raised him up. He became better than them.
Yeah.
Being made better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more, excellent name. We talked about names yesterday. That a name is what? It's a stature in the spirit. It's not just a title. Praise the Lord. He obtained a more excellent name than they. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See how God exalted him and then gave him a name that's above every other name. Amen. So it wasn't just exaltation. He was given a name. That name is a name that corresponds to the stature that he was raised into. Now, what was that raising up? That was that work I was talking about. That was done by that mystery. That wisdom. Praise the Lord. That Paul said was hidden. But now is being made known. Amen.
Amen.
So man's destiny is to also be raised with him. Hallelujah. And to take the same work of wisdom. Now let's see that here. Now, verse 6, he said, "Howbeit we speak what? Wisdom among them that are perfect." That's what is really among them that are being perfected. Or perfect means those who have are after the order of perfection. Doesn't mean you've been made perfect yet, exactly, but that's your lot. Perfection is your lot. He says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even what? The hidden wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Do you see that? God ordained a hidden wisdom unto our glory. It means it's according to that wisdom that we shall be glorified. Now, when it says the hidden wisdom, where is it hidden in? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Have you seen that scripture? In Christ, in who is he hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge? In whom is hidden all treasure? So Jesus Christ is a package. He wasn't just a miracle worker that was going about healing the sick. He was a package of wisdom that you are led to know. That wisdom is your light. That's what you are here to learn. Get born again, start learning that wisdom. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says that we speak with this, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have what? Crucified the Lord of glory. That's why they had to hide the wisdom in him. Because if it was just veiled, sometimes we might think, but this God said, why does he have to make things so hard? Why can't I just be sleeping and then, I'll just be seeing all the videotape of, revelation of scripture. Why can't just God even just somehow make a deep sleep to fall upon me and then impart the wisdom? And then when I wake up the next morning, I become like the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's not that easy. It took Jesus. Now, Jesus Christ wasn't conceived by the sea. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He was conceived of the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Holy Ghost right from a baby. Right. But it took him 30 years until that wisdom had been perfected. And it was time for him to do his work and go to the cross. So how much more me and you that are, like for me, for example, that first spent maybe the first, 18, 19 years of my life being raised in the contrary nature. So maybe it must take some time to undo the learning before they even start. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that wisdom is hidden in Christ. Praise the Lord. Every day of that 30 years he spent on the earth, they were working that wisdom inside him. He was learning. He was learning. He was being tutored by the Holy Ghost. I believe angels were coming and be ministering to him. Right? He was receiving revelation. He was studying the scriptures. Because he's written of me in the volume of the book to do that. Well, he discovered who he was from the scripture. He discovered his father from the scripture. He was learning the scripture. He gained revelation. The same ministry of revelation. The same seven spirits of God that are supposed to minister this light to us. Those same spirit in those 30 years made the word flesh in him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's a process whereby that wisdom was interwoven into him. It says, in him is hid all the treasures. All the treasures of wisdom. This is not man's wisdom. Praise the Lord. That can study the elements and study the sun and all the stars and everything. Biology, botany. That's just studying creatures. But he's talking of wisdom of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It wasn't wisdom on how to manufacture an aircraft or to make a robot. It's the wisdom of how to make God. Do you get that? Praise the Lord. So you see why man can't access it. You have to be take the learning of Christ serious. It's not okay for you to just, oh, Father, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for you saved me. You died for me on the cross of Calvary. I thank you. But I commit my day unto your hand. Anything that I do today, guard and protect me in Jesus' name. And then you come back and you pray the same prayer the next day. Father, thank you and all that. But I pray for the souls that you save them, get them born again. In Jesus' name. Huh? Now you're praying those prayers. Say, did you pray? I pray to God every day. Should I have a good prayer life? Praise the Lord. No. No, that's not good enough. It's not good enough. You have to learn Him. The church is the school.
Yes.
You are born again into the church. The church is a school where this wisdom is taught. This wisdom is unveiled. It's called, the Bible says that, so I've written this thing to you that you might know how to conduct yourself, Paul was telling Timothy, in the church of God, which is what, the pillar and the ground of truth. The pillar means the what upholds truth. Ground means the foundations of truth. That has to do with the building. Praise the Lord. The church is a factory where Christ is produced. Because only Christ can see God. You have to become a Christ. Christ is a statue in the spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus became Christ. You get that? That Christ, you know that you are, we're learning names now. The secret of names. So when you see names in the Bible, they are statues. When you see Jezebel, not that woman, Jezebel. No, there is something in the spirit. That woman allowed herself to become Jezebel. So it's Christ. Hallelujah. There was already a definition of who Christ is before Jesus Christ walked it out. Jesus Christ was made according to that definition. He read it. Christ was in the scripture. Said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will. Praise the Lord. So that same Christ, we also are to become Christs. To be raised after the same order. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Verse
7 says, but we speak this wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have what entered into the heart of man, the things which what God had prepared for them that love Him. It does not just naturally occur to you. Praise the Lord. You can't passively just find yourself coming into that stature of Christ. I'm a good Christian. I do my give my giving. I do all these things. Praise the Lord. And you can't just confess yourself into it either. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you know why? Because I had not seen.
Yes.
Ear has not heard. Neither has it entered. That word entered means it can never miss road and find and enter your heart somehow. You know how thoughts fly into your mind. That's interesting. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For every thought of Him, of that wisdom, every nugget of that wisdom that comes to you, there's a warfare that has happened to bring it to you. If you know that, you won't play with when God makes arrangement like this to come and hear this wisdom. When the Holy Spirit is leading you to open the scripture, Hmm? Ah, so I'm just taking a nap. When I wake up. Hallelujah. These things are precious. Paul fought for it. I like Paul because Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament. So we have a lot of insight into the works, that the journey to that place. John just showed up at the end. Just, you know, which was from the beginning. which we have seen, which we have heard of the word of life, which we have looked upon, to hand of handle. So these things are right, that you may have fellowship with us. How did you get to that fellowship? Amen. So at least Paul, we could see his journey. We could see struggles. We could read Romans chapter 7. Yeah. Now you are speaking. So you went through all these things.
Yes.
Say, I found another law at work. After, you know? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it's a fight. It's not something you just do trivially, you handle trivially. No. There are forces that have sworn. I swear you will not enter this thing. Praise the Lord. That's why God had to swear his own. God had to assure us. Say, be more willingly to show unto the children the immutability of his counsel. That was immutability of his counsel means that I've decided that I'm not going to change. But I want to prove it to you. So he swore by an oath that by two immutable things it's impossible for. Might have what a strong consolation. Praise the Lord. So something that God swore to give us, that's what we just take, you know, anyhow. Praise the Lord. Paul fought for it. And he encouraged us, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the eternal life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Neither has it entered into the heart of man, verse 9, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Means it can only come by revelation. I don't care how holy you are or how much prayer you pray. And how much fasting you pray, you do, if you don't have an active life of revelation, you don't have a culture of revelation in your Christian walk, you're not making progress. It is impossible to make progress. Because that thing can't just enter your heart. Praise the Lord. He says that it is revealed to us by his Spirit. Why? Because only the Spirit can search. It says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, what? The deep things of God. This is not the surface of God. This is what? The deep things of God. The Spirit can search them out, praise the Lord, and then reveal them to you. But like, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of a man which is in him. So man can know things of men. That's not news. Praise the Lord. So even so, the things of God knoweth what? No man. The things of God, praise the Lord, knoweth no man, but what? The Spirit of God. Say, but now we have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might what? Know the things that have been what? Freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
I might know the things that have been freely given to us. Freely given to us. These are those things which are in Christ. These are those treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Praise the Lord. That's able to bring us to glory in God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It says, which things also we speak. Okay? Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why couldn't we just stroll in here at 6 o'clock and then just say everything we need to say at 7 and we are gone? Why do we have to wait and sit down and then start worshiping and wait for the Holy Ghost? Huh? Me, I'm afraid I can't dare stand up here when I've not been given a light. Mukumi can't dare come here without seeing a light. Why? Because it's not something that you can declare by the man's wisdom. This is a Christian culture. This is how we are. This is how there's a way we are. Praise the Lord. That care, that attitude, that careful, that recognition that this is not man's stuff, this is not macho. Let me just, okay, what are we studying? Kingdom shade. Okay, let's open all the scriptures we know about kingdom. Praise the Lord. It's not about, there's a spirit that's doing it. That spirit is not subject to you. You are subject to him. You have to align to that spirit. Praise the Lord. That's why when we come, we have to sit down. We have to now worship God. Adore him. Praise the Lord. That adoration is not for him. It's so our heart can come into that place. Where they can talk to us without destroying us. Praise the Lord. That's why God would have to send an angel to take us into a cloud. Why do they want to take us into a cloud and take us there? Why? Because they want to give us as much distance from here as possible. Because if they leave us here, as the word is coming, we'll still be thinking, We're thinking of that beans in the pot that is not finished. And the plantain. Right? But when that atmosphere comes, you can't think of beans and plantain. In that atmosphere. It's an atmosphere of the spirit. They have to lead you there. They will give us songs that will open the way for us. That could make the heart, break the heart, make the heart willing and ready to receive. You have to come into that sanctified place. It's separated. This is separated knowledge. It does not come into any man. It means it's not man's thing. You have to journey to a separated place where it can be revealed to you by the Spirit. So, but we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. These things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. How? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Praise the Lord. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have what? The mind of Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hepredostis. 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 Hakrepostis siprosta sabano. Habradala pahira kosheta prado vashisa prada bakasisa prada prada vena hosias. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The mind of Christ. Now let's look at the mind of Christ. You have to go now. right? The mind of Christ, praise the Lord. The mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. The mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is that mind of Christ? Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Ashta praista pravoda prefista proveta preveniha. Asta propodendos edesta pradibaturia devasta prabiha da patana. Ankalihe leshetebra niva sa pravali kalasta prahiva nano. Eshta sebra niva tapravenia bakalidi krikos ene libatoria. Kambra tashta sibolu prefadia la profatigra batica la pratica pratica daba. Hasse pradiba la prada basoturia bafunda. Thank you, Father.
Hidden in the belly of Christ. These are secrets of the unknown, which creation looks to see. These are secrets of the Father himself, which he bring here to you even
before. Kali kabatustas.
Ripahila
rabostas.
Bring it in the first begotten.
Yes.
He's bringing in the order of the begotten Son. He's bringing in the order of the begotten Son. Oh, we are privileged to witness this with you all. We are privileged to witness this day. For we ourselves look to the Father to behold him. But he has sworn in himself that he will make himself known to us. For he said unto us,
yes.
Every high priest,
yes, Ali, Ada, Kaliga, Takalika, Talika, Talia, Ha, Shata, Shatania, Shatanasida, Krihapata, Kahata, Prahita, Caprita, 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 Kalika, Tabrasa, Sopratis, Zapratis, Ibrata, Capaledo, Shatano. Yes,
he's able to make intercession. To the very end. To the very end. To the very end. You see? These things have been known to you that you may walk worthy of the Lord. These things have been known unto you that you may journey in the Spirit. Take heed to the word of life. Take heed to the salvation that has appeared unto all men. Take heed unto the work of the Father. Take heed to the gospel.
Christ
is the gospel of the Father.
Yes.
Christ is the gospel of the Father.
Yes.
Even this very
Report
gospel
Ivashtari Vanastus.
Receive it
yes.
with wisdom and meekness.
Yes.
Receive Christ.
Brother Lassia.
Receive Christ. Christ is our gospel.
Mata Libra Nashta Prada Mata.
Bade Kiliste
Pada.
He is our gospel.
Yes.
He continues to be our gospel.
Yes.
To the very end.
Yes.
And he is the word of the testimony.
Yes.
He is the testimony.
Yes.
He is the testimony.
Yes. Yes.
That is why he's able to enjoy you in
yes.
the testimony.
Yes.
For when the first oath came, he said, this is the word, blood of the covenant,
which
the Lord has enjoined unto you. Even this very new comes with a covenant. And it is the blood of Christ, which the Lord has enjoined unto you, which is also an oath to let you know that you will come to him. For by his blood has he sealed all things. By his blood he sealed all things.
Crashate Bradiha Labashtosia Serion Dasi Kalosheta Brohadas. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Philippians 2, verse 5. Father, we receive your words.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, it says, we have the mind of Christ. Now, what's that mind? It says, who being in the form of God, means that he was actually God. That being in the form means when he was still in that realm, where he was bearing witness in heaven as the Word. So there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. So he was the Word. While in that form, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, means that he knew he was equal. Didn't steal that equality. Right? He was actually equal with God. Right? Verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made like in the likeness of men. Hallelujah. Now this was speaking about the decision that was made by the word. This wasn't a decision made by the man. This was just the decision. While he was in the form of God, he decided, I'm going to come. So that wasn't just even the Father saying, I'm sending you my son. No, he himself thought it to come. It says that he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now, verse 8 now speaks about, okay, that is God's nature, right? To be humble. So he proved it. And that was, it came out of that humble nature. It didn't, both love and humility and meekness mixed together produced that thought that I will become flesh, I will go down into man, I will become like a man. Praise the Lord. But that was God. So we can say, okay, well, it was God, so, I mean, God is meek. But verse 8 now says, okay, but being found in the fashion as a man, what did he still do? So this is second humility. This is not that decision to come to become a man. Praise the Lord. Now this is that mind that we need to learn.
Yes.
This is the secret of the kingdom.
Yes.
This is telling you what was his mind as a man. After he descended and became like man, the next thing is to start the journey of ascension back. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he had to, the decision he made after he became man was the decision that will help his ascension. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And this is a great secret. This thing, Satan does not know it. If Satan knew it, Satan wouldn't have said, I will exalt myself. Because he was going the wrong direction.
Yes.
It's not the nature of God, of divinity, to exalt
themselves.
Praise the Lord. That is the path to destruction. Praise the Lord. So he got it mixed up. Hallelujah. But when he became as a man, he had only one job as a man and one goal. That is to ascend back, to take back the glory he had before. In John 17, it says it, where he now prayed after he had finished everything he did. Say, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with you from the beginning. Praise the Lord. So in the bid to make that ascension, you have to make a decision. What is my attitude as a man? And this is the secret of ascension. This is the summation of that all that wisdom we were talking about. This is the expression of it. This is the product. When the wisdom has talked with wisdom and then negotiated within him, they decided on the cause of action. Hallelujah. And that cause of action was the way, the only way for that man to become glorified again. Is what? He has to descend again. He has to become low and meek. Hallelujah. He has to what? Humble himself. So I'm being found in fashion as a man. Hallelujah. He humbled himself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then verse 9. Now the product of that decision. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him. Hallelujah. And then giving him a name, which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. What Paul gave us here was a summary of everything that happened to Jesus. Okay? So this saying he humbled himself, why I'm telling you this is for you to know, okay, that humility was not just, okay, Jesus, fruit of the Spirit in Jesus. That Paul just mentioned that Jesus was a humble guy. This is not that. Paul was telling you how he actually did it, how he came down to man, and what made him be able to ascend back to glory. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The way to glorification is humility. But not only humility, humility unto death.
Yeah.
Means you will be humble until you lose yourself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because that man has to be translated. And that man can't be translated unless he wills, if he lets himself go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says that, you know, that we... Hebrews 12, right? Therefore, we haven't, well, we surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, right? Let us therefore lay aside all weight and sin that so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, praise God, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and what? Sat. Where?
The
right hand of God.
The throne
of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then how did he sit? Next verse. Who endured so great what?
Of
sinners against himself.
Lest ye be weary and faint in your mind.
Okay.
Ye have not resisted unto blood striving against sin.
Praise the Lord. You've not resisted unto blood. Striving against sin. Resisting unto blood means obedience unto death. Hallelujah. He didn't just obey a little bit. He didn't just humble himself a little bit. Okay? You have to go the full mile of humility if you are going to receive that glorification. Because there's an enemy you have to overcome. And you can only overcome that enemy by that descending. Humility. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that humility is losing your life. That life has to go. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says they overcame him by what? The blood. What is the blood of the lamb? The secret code of the lamb's life. They overcame him by the blood of the lamb and the word of their testimony. What? Loving not their lives unto death. That's what we're talking about here. Is this part of humility? You cannot overcome him without that. That's the DNA of the lamb. The Bible says he's the lamb that was slain. That's not poetry. That is telling you something. That slain means that he died. It was humility that made him die. He submitted himself unto the death of the cross. So we ought to follow the same pattern of what? Humbling ourselves. Humility. Then just one chapter before we go. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just, the book of Matthew chapter 18, quickly. And there are many, we can read so much about this in the New Testament when Jesus was speaking, because Jesus was teaching the kingdom, right? He was just teaching the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 5, after he went into the mountain to teach the disciples, the first thing he said was, blessed are they, what, are the poor in spirit. For theirs is what, the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit. Who are those poor in spirit? Those who have nothing, no possession. To be humble is to be poor. That is meekness. To be meek. Jesus said many things about the kingdom. He spoke, there was a rich man that came to him, right? And at the end of the story, he told the rich man, go and sell everything you have and come. The rich man went away sorrowfully. He couldn't sell it. Then Jesus now taught the lesson behind that. In just chapter 19 here. Right? What was the lesson behind that? Jesus Christ said that it is difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle than for a rich man. Why? Someone who is rich means your identity is tied to those riches. That's why you can't let them go. The secret of selfishness is actually there's an elevation that man has. He feels you need to maintain something. And humility is not just relative to man, it's God, relative to God as well. If you are really humble before God, you will submit to his word that says, take no thought for your life. You somewhere deep down, you don't really trust that he would do it. You still have confidence in yourself somewhere. So you still need to go and take thought and figure out your way. When we think of humility, it's not just, I appear humble before my brother. No, the first humility is God. You see many humble brothers that are proud before God. Proud. Do you know how you know a humble person? They that tremble at my word.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
They are afraid when the word of God is, oh my God, this is God's will. Oh my God.
Yes.
He says, the heavens my throne, the earth my footstool. Where's the house you make for me? Have all these things my hand not made? But unto this man will I look, he that is of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit, a heart that trembles at my word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's a real humility. That's humility of Christ. Who was Christ subject to?
God.
It was God that killed him.
Yes.
You think Satan can kill Jesus? That man? They won't even find him. Praise the Lord. He submitted his will to this. It's not my will, but your will, Father. That's the nature. That's the mind of Christ. It's that attitude that took him to glory. Praise the Lord. In verse 18 of Matthew, this is just the last place we'll read and we'll go. It says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child. He went to describe it to them. In the disciples, but they are even talking of greatest. Jesus had to tell them that before you even think of greatest in the kingdom, you have to enter it first.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So Jesus said, okay, no problem. You want to be the greatest. Yeah? And this question came from somewhere. So of those disciples. So of them, they look each other. They were measuring themselves. Praise the Lord. Jesus had to correct that. So Jesus just acted a small drama for them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And then said, verily I say unto you, except ye be what? Converted. Kai. Except you be converted. You can't enter the kingdom without conversion. Means you must change. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Except ye be converted and become as what? Little children. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom. Do you see the path to the kingdom now? Do you see it? It's not by let's ascend. This is the secret of God. That's why Satan can't handle him. Satan would have thought, this man that's coming to save the world, maybe he will just come and then maybe he will go to Herod's palace and then he will gather some guys and they will overthrow him and he will exalt himself. No. Look at even the way he was born. Huh? They had to carry him and hide him from Herod. Such a, crazy. That was humility. Everything was humble about him. Humble background. In fact, the place he came from, Nazareth, they said, can any good thing come out of there? That's the most useless place to come from in Israel. Hallelujah. But in all that, what was that? That was contrary to Satan's wisdom. Satan even looked at him and this guy will just kill him and kill him. Because Satan doesn't know that secret of God. That this guy who appears low right now, who is humbling himself, is actually using the greatest power of God. The greatest power of God is meekness. And it's that meekness that will destroy Satan. Satan won't see God coming. He doesn't know it. He can't conceptualize it. It's not in his nature to be meek. He has died the second death. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he called little children and told them, look, you have to be converted to be like them. To what? Enter the kingdom of heaven. Then, but it's another work of greatness. That one is, among little children, there's even one more little. He now put that little child in the middle. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Means it is the most little. The one who's the servant of the rest. The little child who's serving the children. That wisdom is contrary to the conventional wisdom. When you begin to live by this principle, you begin to have more presence of God. What makes us war with evil spirits is because our nature is in them. We are like them. They can predict us. So that one evil spirit can come and say, I know what this guy is, a Christian brother. I can map out his life from now till the end of next week. I know what he will do and what he won't do. Well, there's nothing in your life code that has defined their wisdom. You're not living it according to a wisdom that's higher than theirs. But Satan cannot entrap a meek man. Because the way you expect you to respond, you won't respond that way. You will confound him. Before Satan knew what happened, Jesus was at the right hand. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
A man that didn't have any sin said he wants to die. And Satan went to kill him. Praise the Lord. You should have known there's something fishy about this thing. Why is this man on that cross? He shouldn't be on that cross. Praise the Lord. His path, Jesus said, but he who will follow me should what? Count the cross, take up your cross, your own cross. You have your own cross. That cross is a symbol of meekness. Helplessness. Jesus was helpless on the cross. That was the Son of God. The one who made everything was nailed to the cross. That cross is a gateway out of the flesh, out of the natural. That cross, anybody who can conform to the law of that cross, you will beat death.
Yes.
That cross is the way to glorification. That cross is the access to the kingdom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Meekness. Isaiah chapter 57, Verse 15 says, thus saith the High. Let's read it. Isaiah. Isaiah 57. Verse 15. He says, for thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity. Amen. Amen. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Hallelujah. We can't access God's kingdom or get to him without this secret. This is the secret of the Lamb's life. That's the secret of Christ. This is the kingdom. This is the end of the kingdom message. Praise the Lord. Meekness. I pray God will bring this revival in our heart. It says to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Father, we thank you. Hashem brefuteni hasaprat ilia mushtaki brutalas. Salibatilia materia suprende. Masari afratilias. Repashetirian de bravadiando setimanende. Hasalia. Hesteprendos. We ask for a revival of humility. We ask for a revival of our hearts. Teach us the secret of the Lamb's life. The secret of his exaltation. The secret of your kingdom. Father, make us meek. Jesus said, come unto me all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That rest is my own rest. It's the rest I'm in. I will give it to you. Take my yoke upon you. It means be yoked to me. Be joined with me. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. I am meek and lowly. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. We want to learn of you, Jesus. We take your yoke. We receive your yoke. We want to be yoked to you. We want to be yoked. Yoke us with you. Tie us together with you. We receive meekness.
Amen.
The meekness of the Lamb.
Amen.
Humility.
Amen.
Revive us, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for all that has been received for the words of the kingdom. Father, may this thing be a cornerstone in our walk going forward.
Amen.
May we wake up with meekness on our mind. May we go through our days with meekness. May we never be bait to Satan because of our haughtiness and pride. Father, break us. Make us broken before you. Conform us to your nature of your Son. Give us that divine nature that defeats Satan. Father, we receive of you. I pray for everyone here tonight and everyone who is listening and everyone who will hear the sound of my voice. And all those who have been ordained for eternal life, both in this city, beyond the city, in Canada, and in the world. Father, I make intercession based on this revelation, based on this word. Father, I ask for yokes to fall. Let your people be yoked to you. May we be yoked to Christ. Let the revelation of his nature, let it be revived in our hearts. Father, Father, we repent. We repent. We repent of our haughtiness, of our pride, of our stiff-neckedness. Break us. Make us broken. Father, give us a cloak of humility. Let us be clothed with humility. Father, may the first thing men see of us be that nature of brokenness, of humility. Break the powers of idols. Self-idol. What are you saying? We should not consider ourselves more highly than we ought to. Father, teach us that way of life. Teach us how to live that way. Give us deliverance from ourselves. Give us deliverance from pride. Father, give us the spirit of meekness. We receive the mind of Christ. 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 In the name of Jesus. Powerful transformation. Powerful elevation. To access the kingdom. Sight to see it. Father, Father, we submit ourselves to the powers of your kingdom. We will not be found wanting. We will inherit it. We will receive it. Thank you, our Father. We worship you. In Jesus' name.